Hello, dear podcast friends. Welcome to Insights and Beyond, Digitalization, Sustainability and Technology, the podcast by Trelleborg Sealing Solutions. You're in the right place if you're interested in the driving questions around topics like digitalization, electrification and sustainability. And above all, if you want to participate in a discussion with your exciting questions and comments. Experience the talks with our experts from Trelleborg and specialists from business, industry and research. So have fun with a new episode of Insights and Beyond. ...2020 was really a good year. Admittedly, that really can be taken out of context. In fact, however, at least fans of e-mobility will agree, because 2020 saw a real upswing in this area. Almost 1.4 million battery electric cars and plug-in hybrids were registered in Europe in 2020, pushing Europe ahead of the leader China in terms of growth rate. Europe as a new engine for e-mobility. But do we even want to be that leader? Because precisely in the record year 2020, voices are being raised calling for other alternatives, from e-fuels to hydrogen. What can electrification achieve? Which areas can it change? And most importantly, how good are electric vehicles really in terms of efficiency and sustainability? Today, I talk about these questions with two experts, Christoph Ulosoy, founder of E-Vehicle for You, and Axel Weimann, general manager at Trelleborg Sealing Solutions. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
So first of all, I have to ask, since we're living here in Europe, especially in Germany, have you bought an e-car as well in 2020?
Yeah, so I did my stuff. So in the last quarter last year, we bought an e-vehicle. Yeah.
I personally have already contributed a couple of years ago. So not last year, but I'm a part of the EMOP gang.
You're part of the EMOP gang. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not. But maybe I can change it after this podcast session. So
absolutely.
Maybe you can convince me. We're going to answer some questions because we reached some questions from the audience. And one of them were from our Trelleborg virtual conference in November last year. And some of the questions were from our podcast audience. So we're going to answer, I hope, every single question here. But before we start, let me ask you our format question, which is, if somewhere were to give a book title about your plans on electrification in 2021, what would be the title of it?
I would summarize it in a way that say goodbye to a niche. So things changed and the whole topic came out of a very, very let's say, limited way of participants talking and thinking about that to a broad audience.
That's a short title. That's good. So what is your title?
Nice. I like the broad audience approach. I would say how every company became a provider for shared e-mobility. That would be my book title.
Yeah, that catches me. I have no idea how you will do that, but I think you're going to explain it to us. Second one is, everyone is talking about electrification. What question do we have to ask ourselves to make the new normal really sustainable?
I think we have to look into the mirror and understand what do we have to change to be part of that. And there's maybe a few things that we have to rethink.
Yeah, starting with ourselves is always a good idea. What would you say, Christoph? What is the big question?
I think it's very important to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is clear. We need to reduce CO2 emission latest by the year 2030. And hence, e-mobility is a very important contributor to that reduction, especially here in Europe and in Germany.
Yeah, 2030, or sometimes companies set their goals for 2025. For example, Trelleborg, 50 by 25 is your motto. So
correct.
You want to reduce it for 50%. So that's also important for your fleet to reduce the CO2 emissions. But let's dive into our topic and let's dive into the questions of our audience. And one question is, we're going to start with one of them. What is the current status quo? Are battery electric vehicles really a smart alternative to the internal combustion engine? I think this is also the big philosophical question.
Yeah, I think it's about understanding where we are, and that's I think the direction the question goes. And if you look into newspapers and also official statements from the OEMs, they make clear that they invest into this heavily. So they show that most of the platforms are already developed in a way that it's for a battery propelled car. So it means it's the beginning for us as being the buyers, but for the ones designing the next generation of cars, it's already in the midst of doing that. So we are already on our way to change the whole structure of or the share of e-vehicles to combustion engines.
So we're on our way. Are we still in the packing our stuff stadium, or is it like, yeah, we're right in the middle of this way to electrified mobility? What would you say?
I personally would say that we are still in the beginning, but I think we are on the way. And I want to quote Herbert Diess, or a tweet from Herbert Diess, who wrote, "It's time for politicians to accept science. Green hydrogen is needed for steel, chemical, and aero, and should not end up in cars. So it's far too expensive, inefficient, slow, and difficult to roll out and transport. After all, no hydrogen cars in sight." And I think that's a very good summary of our way currently. I think our way focuses on battery electric vehicles.
Yeah, hydrogen, that's kind of a big enemy of the electrification idea. So let's talk about that later, because I found a really interesting innovation, and I'm curious about your idea of what could be possible with that new innovation. Axel is smiling again. I think you know what I'm talking about already, but let's go back to our topics, to the combustion engine compared to our electric vehicles. It's not only about cars. I don't want to talk about mobility and then just focus on cars. We also have buses, trains, planes, trucks, and you're also in the agriculture area working. So what is with that, let's say, vehicles? I mean, in my really outside perspective, from my outside perspective, the bigger the machines, the less smarter it is to use electrification. Is that right?
Maybe that's one of that's for sure one of the let's say the reasons, or the let's say conditions that you have to look for. So the weight. But on the other side, we as Trelleborg, we have inside views on different branches, and you're totally right. So then it's getting really complex, and so hydrogen and also other ideas of using energy is a very complex issue, and for us it's a big challenge to then find the right solution for all of these different specifications. But coming back to the battery, this is a pretty mature technology. So to skip that is maybe not so easy. So a lot of these branches will try to stay in this battery electric framework.
Yeah, a big issue in terms of e-mobility is that the people are confused. And of course, the decision makers in some companies are confused as well. They don't want to make a wrong decision. So is there any, let's say, a break-even point when you can say, okay, in this case, e-mobility makes sense, and from this point on, it doesn't make sense anymore? Is there kind of a scale or something like that people can orientate themselves?
I think, first of all, it's a super tough question. And you're right, people are confused because we are at the very beginning of a change period. So we've got a lot of technologies, a lot of acronyms throwing around. And so, yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, first of all, one comment to what you said earlier. You said hydrogen is the enemy of electrification. I would say, well, actually, it's not. It's just another form of electric mobility. So even in the statement, for example, of the German government, they explicitly include hydrogen into electromobility. It's just another form. And so I think the challenge is with hydrogen, the process until it's well to tank. So that process is very efficient, consumes a lot of energy, and that makes it very difficult to use it, for example, for battery electric vehicles especially if they're owned by private persons. And so now coming back to your question of the break-even point, I think it's super tough to say there is a break-even point at a certain kilowatt size of a battery. I think in reality, we see an end of kilowatt sizes at around 100 kilowatt hours per battery. There are not many cars that have a higher capacity of the battery, but I think, like, mathematically, there is no real break-even point.
So let's see if the master opponent, hydrogen, can convince you with my new innovation I found. But let's look at that point later and go back to our questions from the audience, because we received another one. And this one is also very interesting. And I think it really continues the discussion we are doing right now. Assuming batteries are the best solution at the moment, do we have enough resources to produce enough batteries? And what about their lifespan and recycling?
So this is for sure, besides charging, the big topic which is brought up, I think, from most of the people. And I think we need to understand that technology is going on pretty quickly. So a lot of news were announced where developers showed that reduction of these materials is one of the top topics, and they are on their good way. They already announced also cobalt-free batteries, and it's also about, besides reduction, also, of course, avoidance. It's also about, of course, looking into the sourcing of these materials, and there is also a lot of initiatives ongoing to be compliant to what we would say is standards. So technology will solve a lot of that.
Yeah, this is. I think this is one of the biggest points. Besides the reach of a battery, it's also the recycling. And I can understand that people say, okay, it's not really environmental friendly what we do, so why should I buy an e-car? So is that really the huge topic to recycle batteries, or are there any innovations and solutions that people still don't know yet? And they are already solved these problems.
I personally think, and we see a lot of studies already that tell us clearly that a battery electric vehicle has a better CO2 footprint than a comparable car at the same class. So I think that's already a fact we see today. Now, if we come to the batteries and especially the battery production, well, I think resources are maybe not the biggest problem from a supply perspective, but more from a work perspective and social aspects of it. So how do we get those resources? And I think there are a lot of initiatives happening. I think, for example, BMW has announced that they will check and control and monitor themselves where and how they've got their resources from. And also there are some initiatives focusing on cobalt-free batteries. For example, Tesla is focusing on that. And lastly, there are a lot of business models emerging around the second life of batteries. So stationary storage, even charging infrastructure where they can use recycled batteries. So I think we are at the beginning. Yes, it's a topic. We have to discuss about it. But I think there are already a lot of good initiatives.
Yeah, and there's a commitment inside the automotive sector, I think. And that's also why we are now the leader in terms of growth rate for e-mobility. And if you look at the statements of the OEMs, for example, Porsche wants to build only e-cars by 2030. Okay, except for the 911. I think you would screw it up totally with your fan base if you turn the 911 into an electric car. But not now, maybe in the future. And even the SUV and HP Swank General Motors wants to switch by 2035. If more manufacturers switch to electric vehicles, how will you compensate for the loss of internal combustion engines, fuel solutions in your business, for example?
Yeah. So that's a big question for us in Trelleborg. Of course, we have, as I mentioned before, different branches. So we kind of widen our scope. So think about all the cables used for charging. Charging cables is an interesting topic. So each and every car will get one. So if the numbers of cars raise, then also these there's an opportunity for special seals for high voltage connections. The same, of course, inside the car. So there are plenty of options, of course, different ones. And also the different, not very homogeneous OEM specifications doesn't help. So a lot of experience are made also in the field and comes back into changed specifications. So you need to be agile and you need to have a global footprint, what we luckily have to follow that market.
You mentioned something very interesting, the components. I think there's a big advantage for some new startups out there to say, okay, we're now right in the heading position and we say, this is our new product and it's very important for e-mobility. But there are also suppliers who really have problems because they are focused on that components for combustion engines. But speaking of the startup sector and the startup scene, I've got a feeling that in the last years, there were so many startups created in the surroundings of e-mobility. And I think that every one of them wants to have a slice of the pie. So how easy is it, Christoph, since you're doing, you're having a startup, created a startup, founded it in the e-mobility sector? Is it really that easy to get the money, to be the top scorer, to be something, to create something which is really interesting for the OEMs?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think nothing in life is super easy and nothing in life comes for free. And I think the same goes with startups. On the other hand, like the industry had a lot of positive news around emerging and new companies. So we all know the news about the Tesla stock price. Super exciting to see where this one will head. Second, there are numerous exciting news about young companies. So EVBox is a Dutch player around charging infrastructure who just did an IPO on New York Stock Exchange. The Fastnet is also a player around charging infrastructure, doubled their stock price, I think, at some point in Q4 last year. So my point is, those business models seem to be super attractive. And that also justifies a lot of invests by big corporates, but also the hunger for young entrepreneurs to like really be part of the game. And I think also that shows us that not only like e-mobility from a car perspective is an interesting business area, but also charging infrastructure. Companies that are only focusing on charging infrastructure, that are not building cars, are successful from a stock price perspective. And I think, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, as long as my startup is part of the successful ones, I'm happy.
So speaking of hunger, when will we see your company at a stock exchange?
Yeah, let's wait.
Let's wait for 1 minute. Okay, yeah. Let's take a little rest and then we go again ahead. So for those who are listening to us the first time, we always have a part of that podcast, which is called Sci-Fi or Solution. I will read out a line, a statement, and I want to hear from our experts if that is kind of a solution. So it's the truth or it will come true. Or is it more like the sci-fi idea of my creative mind? So here's our sentence for sci-fi or solution. If we rely only on electrification, the traffic turn will fail. Sci-fi or solution?
Yeah, maybe electrification is for sure the answer. We talked about that already. So hydrogen can play a role. Battery vehicles do for sure. Maybe it's also about the energy where it comes from. So of course, it needs to be green energy, whatever is base for the electrification. So that's an ongoing process. But I think we would rather like to optimize the energy source than let's say 40 million cars on the street as being individual sources of emissions. So yes. It's sci-fi when I remember correctly. So it's not the truth. Let's put it this way.
Okay, let's put it this way. Not the truth. Okay, I try my best with Christoph. What do you say? Is it sci-fi or is it solution?
I myself would put it into the solution area and would say, yes, this will be real and the truth in the future, because electrification for me is also hydrogen. Hydrogen is just another way of saving the energy that I can get from clean energy sources. And I think that is definitely the future, despite the fact that I personally don't think that hydrogen will play a critical role in the car area. I think in the car area, we will see a lot of battery electric vehicles. So I would say, yes, it's truth and will be the future.
So we were going to talk about the hydrogen point later. I think this is really a hot topic amongst all the mobility decision makers as well. And we're going to talk about, let's say, concepts and smart mobility, because in my opinion, this is one of the key aspects. If we create a real good ecosystem, then it's the real traffic turn we want to have. And therefore, we have another podcast episode together with you. So we extend that podcast into another episode and talk about all the aspects we need to create this kind of ecosystem. So if you don't want to miss any episode, just click on the follow button and then you will get a notification if our new podcast episode is published. So coming back to our questions from the audience. There's another one, and I like it because this is really good. It's really written very well. If we agree that electric vehicles are the sustainable answer for now, the price of an electric car is 30% higher than a gasoline or diesel car. Why do we expect people to pay more? Maybe we can make a quick answer out of that question.
Yeah, I think it's a quick answer. I think it's not really comparable. So if you take just the price, the base price of a combustion engine car, then you would discover there's a big difference. And then all these numbers of 30%, 40% difference are based on that, let's say, first look. But if you look into the options that an e-car has automatically, I would say, with automatic transmission as the first one, but also online navigation, as well as auxiliary heating and cooling, you speak about a big difference in let's say, value. And of course, that has to be taken into account and also to be considered. And if you do that, then this difference is reduced very much. So I did that calculation with two different types of comparable cars. Then it was I think, less than 5 to 10%. And taking into also the calculation, the existing bonus in some of the governments, especially also in Germany, it's an easy one where to go.
And we talked about that before when we met here in the morning, and we said, yeah, it's not only about the drive technology in there, it's all about the whole experience of an electric car, and therefore the OEMs often use the latest technology. So this is also part of it. So this could be a little bit more expensive than a normal car, because you talked about the basic car, so the price of the basic car. This could also be a reason why the electric cars are a little bit more expensive, but it's worth it, I think. And speaking about our next big topic besides the price is, of course, the range. So what about the range? This is the next question of the audience. What about range? When will we see an electric car with 1,000 kilometer range or even more? And then I like the specification of it. It is a question. I just read it out. At night, in winter, and in rain. So this is a really pretty weather scenario.
All at the same time?
All at the same time. Night, winter, and rain. And you have to drive up hills, I think.
Definitely a disgusting day.
Yeah. Maybe you should stay at home at that day. So when will we see a car with over 1,000 kilometer range?
I personally would have my doubts if we really need a car with 1,000 kilometers of range. I think the word of range anxiety, or in German Reichweitenangst, they become a typical way of expressing that a lot of people are scared with e-mobility. They don't want to like touch it because they're scared that they can't fulfill their needs. But at the end of the day, and if we look at studies and actual sort of behavior when driving a car, we see that those long trips are super rare. Only 2% of all trips at least in Germany, so this is a German study, only 2% of all trips are more than 400 kilometers. And I think also on these kind of trips, you need to have breaks. So you want to have a cup of coffee, you need to do a bio break or something. And there are a lot of good initiatives out there. We already talked about Fastnet, but there are also other HPC, so high power charging companies that then give you the opportunity to then charge your car. And obviously, so you don't need 1,000 kilometers of range, 500 are enough because you have good opportunities to charge.
I think it's all about test driving. I mean, if you never test drive an electric car, you don't know how it works and that it's really not a bad thing and it won't hurt. And the other thing is, I think if the charging infrastructure is more widely distributed, not just around the big cities and the main highways, I think the people, it will calm the people and maybe they're more open to really try out this new technology. But at the end, we're running out of time again. It's always interesting talking to you, but I think we have to continue. And I promised I want to convince you that there's really another cool way with hydrogen. And I found an exciting innovation from the Fraunhofer Institute. They developed a high energy, and they call it really power paste. I love it. That's a good idea to call it power paste, that can store hydrogen and could be used in very various ways. So it can store the hydrogen chemically, transport it easily, and you can refuel it without expensive refueling station infrastructure. So can such innovations maybe beat the e-mobility advantage?
I think that's a nice example of innovative, let's say, proposals to go ahead. And I'm sure this will be not the only one over the next years, challenging the battery vehicles. But I think right now we see that billions of euro, dollars and other currencies are invested into the electric car with a battery. So this needs to pay off. And so I think also having in mind the long validation time from innovation to on the street, I think that we need to be patient and live with battery propelled cars for quite a long time until other opportunities come up.
So let's jump into 2030. Could that be maybe a new solution in terms of mobility?
Why not? I mean, we have seen a lot of innovation happening with computers. We have seen a lot of innovation happening with smartphones, like also from a battery perspective. So yes, at this point in the year 2021, we are not at the end of the story. So a lot of things will happen. And on the other hand, I would say that battery electric vehicles are a good chance right now. I mean, especially if we look at very small cars that will start to come like to the market right now, to the dealers, a lot of good, very good new models. I think they will then play a very important role of future mobility. And obviously, the bigger the battery, the more it's open and likely that another technology will maybe support or replace the big, huge battery. So yeah, let's be open to that. But I think really until 2030, there will be a lot of battery electric vehicles.
Okay, I say I halfly convinced you that there are maybe, but just maybe, some other solutions for the future, but I still think you're the electrification guys here. Last question from the audience, and maybe this is also a good idea to talk about it, because I have the feeling that developing as many solutions as possible isn't always the key, because sometimes I have the feeling we have to focus on some technology. We already have to make progress to optimize things. And there, I think this is a good fit, this question from the audience. Electric vehicles use recuperation during braking. What developments do you foresee in braking technology and needs?
Yeah, definitely. So who owns an electric car knows that the brake consumption, so the brake pads, they live more or less forever. So of course, then the engineers think about how to set that up that it's good enough for the full braking that I need as an emergency braking, but also to be not over engineered. So this, I think, the next step will be then brake by wire. So we see this technology in some specific niches, but motorsport, for example. But this will, I think, come, and that will deliver some other chances also for autonomous driving and other, driver assistance systems. I think we will see some changes, but of course, for the driver himself or herself, will be not nothing. So the feel of braking will not change.
Yeah, and that's also a gamification part of driving an electric car. I like that moment when you see that it is scaling up and you see, okay, I got more energy because I did a good, I drove very well and saw the recuperation, it worked, and I have more energy right now. So I like that. And speaking of that by wire technology, I saw it in the new DTM electric demo car, and it's very interesting how smart this handling of the car and the energy is in there. So I'm really curious about that technology in the future. But speaking of the drivetrain, some components will be, we don't need them in the future. So this could be a real huge problem for our suppliers, but on the other hand, also an advantage for all the startups out there. So Christoph, is there any inspiration for you in there for your next startup creating startup for the electric engine, for the parts of it?
Well, I think personally, I'm not the guy who works on engines. So I'm more the guy who works on new business models around mobility. And I think that there will be a big shift when we look at the use cases of mobility and battery technologies. And business models will be more flexible. So if we look, for example, at DHL or UPS, they start to deliver now some packages with cargo bikes or even lightweight electric vehicles. And I think we will see a lot of innovation in that area.
Yeah, and you mentioned a real cool keyword, which is flexibility. And this is a really smooth transition to our last part. And since we're running out of time, I have to speed up a little bit. We're doing a ceiling test at the end of our podcast every time. And we're talking about two main aspects of a ceiling solution, resilience and flexibility. Resilience means the capability of a material to return into its initial state after a huge pressure. So where do we have to become more resilient and more flexible in terms of electrification, maybe specifically in 2021?
I think what you mentioned with test driving, that's maybe the first step. Just use it and try it out. And then I think most people will find out that's a nice alternative, and it has a lot of good vibrations, if I do that, or good feelings. And so that's maybe... be flexible in your head and just try it out.
I like that idea. So what about you?
I would say let's be a little bit more resilient with all of the urban myths around e-mobility. I mean, you talked earlier about the guy that drove in winter, uphill and at rain, and obviously ended up with a state of charge of zero and no charging station nearby. I think those stories are very often big exaggerations. So let's do not focus on that. So that would be my first point. The second point is the flexibility point is really also about testing. I would say test driving is important, but also test charging, because a lot of people are reluctant to start a charging process at a charging station because they fear it's difficult, I need an app. But actually, at the end of the day, it's super easy. So I encourage people to do that as well.
So maybe this is our next our next action we do together. We're going to make a little trip through Germany with an electric car, and then you can show me the charging part, because this is something I am still missing in my experience. I just drove one electric car, and this was the Porsche Taycan. So, if I drive an electric car, I do it with the best, maybe. But it's just a maybe. But that sounds great. So maybe we can do that after Corona, if there's ever after Corona, we can drive through Germany and, yeah, maybe encourage people to do so as well. Thank you so much for your time and for all the insights and answers. And yeah, I'm looking forward to our next episode. We were going to talk about the whole ecosystem and what aspects have to be developed and what things do we have to change in our behavior. So this is going to be very exciting as well. And I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Looking forward to the next one.
Thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you don't want to miss anything, just subscribe to our podcast. And of course, we are happy to receive feedback from you. So we're looking forward to your ratings and comments. And of course, we still want to answer your questions. Therefore, feel free to write us at info.podcasts@trelleborg.com. Thanks a lot and see you next time.